Not that it's true now. When I grew up, those radio stations in Ibadan, only motoro rasari, emi olaro, only motoro rasari. When it's towards the end of the year, and then you begin to wonder where were all these cars from January to now. You know, it's as if something happened to from September, and it looks like all the cars were bought then, hallelujah, and then all the bad things decided to happen then, hallelujah. Then you begin to wonder what happened in January, February, and then all the way to September. Is it that there were no cars? Was it there was no evil going on? So where the amplification of all this evil? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, when I was a boy, I was an athlete. I used to run. And I take pride in saying it now because I still run now. You know, I remember the first time my wife would be on the field about 3 years ago and I was going to run. And I was like, my wife is here. I must win this race. And then I think, you know, I said, why? Why should I win because she's here? No, I'm not going to do that. So I cut my mind off the fact that she was on the field and she was watching and I went to run. And then it reminded me, and of course I did win, okay? But I did not take my focus off what I wanted to do. What I intended to do was to run and win and not to impress her. So at the point I was getting up, my focus was going to be diverted. That she's watching, you must win. Because each time my children and I go out, okay, and we come back in the house, but we always come back and they say, mommy, daddy won. And she's like, I've never seen you run, I've never seen you win. So it was a time for her to see it. And I'm like, she's here. But you know what? The funny thing about all these things is that every year when we go to run, I run with different sets of people. So it's not that it's the same people I run with last year because we are all fathers. So the father that comes this year will not come, but I will always go because I just love running. And so this year she came and it was the most difficult race I've ever run in the last 10 years. It was very difficult. And she was there, but you know, when I got off, say, you have to run, oh, Buki is here. I said, no. I'm not going to run because Buki is here. I am going to run to win. Amen. Hallelujah. And it was the most difficult race I've ever run. In all the other races, I will run, there will be a gap, and everybody will have a clap, a clap. But this one, it was to the finish line with the man that was next to me. And then it was just a head, just like they do using boats, and it was held. And my wife was like, did you really win that race? I said, I did. Of course I won. This is my prize. Amen. And I remember when I was a boy, because I love running, I mean, everybody will always clap and say, I won't tell you this my name. They always clap and call me my nickname and say, he's going to run. Hallelujah. I got to tell you now, that's all you come and say, this is. So he's going to run. So from one, at that time, we were from one, from two, and then they changed to GS3. And everybody understood the fact that when I was on the field, I was going to run and I definitely will win. And in this case, now, the difference between that one and this one, in this case, I was always running with the same set of people. So it's just like when if they put myself, Kenny, and Sunday to run, this year, I win. Next year, it is not enough, I will win. Because I know their capabilities. You understand? So I kept winning. And this particular time in SS, I will always win, you know, can you run faster than me? In this particular time in SS1, they brought this guy came to join us. And the guy came with all manner of, what do you call it now? Kit, you know, accessories to run. He had spikes. Even his knicker was dented. Abobi, I will run with bare feet. So when he was on the field, and it's important, when he was on the field, he went to train, you know, his house. They were doing training. He went to train. He ran. People came from all over the school. They came to look for me. Said, now we have found somebody that will run against you. And you cannot anyway defeat this guy. So they told me, and I bowed my head. I said, why is it that they are happy that an outsider has come? Why shouldn't they be happy that there is me one here that can face this guy? I was disturbed. I said, see that there's so much hatred. You know? And he said, so what are you going to do now? I said, what am I going to do? I'm not going to be moved. I looked at all of them and I went to. But inside of me, I was scared. This is the only thing they know me for. Said, <"Well, laughs> this is the only thing. If you come to school, they say, come, we are. This is the only thing they know me for. And somebody wants to take it away. And then everybody in the school is happy that there's somebody that will take it away. That's trouble. So they called me several times. Every afternoon, we were supposed to go and train on the field, practice, you know. And then every time, they will come and call me. We will come and run with this boy. Ah, it's me. This boy. They have put so much fear in me. Because even when they told me he has spikes, I've not even used spikes before in my life. I've always run with barefoot, you know. So I kept off the guy. And then I will go back to my house, you know. I will look at it. I will go through the rudiments of how to run again. Do you understand me? So now it was Muiwa against the rest of the school. I will go through the rudiments, and I never went to try out that guy, if I was faster or not. Because I know that there is an end to all this. It was in the house sports. Somebody must be declared the fastest junior boy or the fastest senior boy. And that was my goal. My goal was not to beat everybody in my set. Because when you run junior boy, you have to run GS1, GS2, GS3, all of us together. So it was not, and if you run senior boys, you have to run SS1, SS2, SS3. My goal was not to beat one man. No, my goal was to be declared the fastest senior boy. And so they were going to distract me. I was going to lose focus. And for you to understand it, I started running as a junior boy from my house in GS1. There were people in GS3. But they only take two of us to run. So it was norm that they would pick me and then they find somebody else to run. That was how good I was. Okay? So when this happened, I never went to the field. I never went to practice with the guy. Even with the people from my house, the relay team, I never went to practice. It was certain that my spot was there. But I had to go back and be sure that when I get to the battlefront, the rudiments that I know will be better than ever before. Amen. And so we will do it, okay? We will do it and before the final race. And so when the day of it came, I just was praying to God that God, in all your mercy, when we are going to run this it, don't let me and this boy run it. That was what I was praying to God for. So, and then the way God had it, we ran the heat. It was not in my heat. So we both qualified for the final. So all the school that they were waiting, they cannot see anything until the final day. And the guy was pumping. That's how you call it when we are running. We don't say we run, we say we pump. He was pumping, and it was just impressive. The day I went to the field and I looked at him from afar, when I could muster courage to look at him from afar, and I saw the way he was running, I looked again and said, am I sure I'll be able to overtake this guy? And then on the day of the finals, on the day of the finals, everybody was waiting. Everybody was looking at me, say, then there's somebody that will defeat me by today. The only person I had was my junior brother. And I was in SS1, he was GS1. He was the only one saying, don't worry. I said, I'm not worried. And so to give myself courage, when they called the race, whatever, 100 meters, blah, blah, blah. I did not go to the start line. I didn't go to the start line from this side and come here. I went to the start line from the finish line. You know what I mean? You know, we're supposed to start from here. Then they called us to come and run. So I started walking from the finish line. I started pacing. And everybody was looking. And then after a while, everybody started jeering. I said, yes, last is it. Everybody started. And then I got to the finish start line. And then we started the race. And oh my. Hallelujah. By the time we were 50 meters mark, I looked, when I run my races, I run in the middle of the track. So that I see you here, I can go. But in this particular race, I chose to run on the left, the farthest lane. So that I can see everybody, no distraction. That was my aim. I didn't want to be distracted. Don't forget, number one, I never went to the field to run with him. So that we can practice together, so that I won't lose focus, and then I won't get fear. Number two, on that same day, I changed my strategy. I said, no, I don't want to be looking at the corner of both eyes. I want to look at just one corner. Okay? So I looked at it, 1, 2, 3. I mean, all the other people were no match, technically. So I started the race, and I was surprised. By the time I got 50 meter mark, my eye could see nothing. I was tempted to look back, but I said, no. I cannot look back. I said, where is this person? You know, in my mind, I said, where is this guy? Is it that he's in front? And so then we finished the race. And from that day, Even until to date, when everybody sees me, they will always all hail King Lipsy. Amen. Hallelujah. They will always do that. But see, it's the same thing that applies to this life that we are living. Oftentimes, we lose focus. We lose focus and we lose our stability. Because we are looking at what is not and leaving what is important. Amen. When we were growing up, my mom took us to church. And we'll go to church and we'll come back and say, ah, we are Buki. We have to read these psalms. I said, what's this psalm for? Says for protection. So how many verses? Say 30. I said, well, I cannot read it. Say 30 verses. I said, there's no one that is 5 verses or 6 verses. He said, no, we have to read 30. Say, how many times am I supposed to read? Say 7 times. I said, say 30 times 7. That's 210. This night, I cannot read it. Mom said, okay, no problem. And then there was one time, we went to church and we came back. And mom said, ah, she gave 5 different psalms. So you go to every door and every window, 5 different ones, and you must read it before you go to bed. So what's it for? Say for protection. So there's trouble. So if 5 different psalms, I cannot calculate the number of verses in those psalms, to every door and every window before you go to bed at night. So when we start at 9 p.m., we finish reading by 11. I said, but is there no better way? Just, is this the same God? If you read the first one, the second one, and the third one, he will mount guard all around us. Abi, the book you have sent me to school to read, I've not even finished reading. Then every night we'll be reading these psalms. Hallelujah. But you know that oftentimes, or most of the time, that's what we all do. We beat about the bush and we leave the focus, the focal point of all these things. If you put your gaze on God and you put your concentration on God, you will not need to count how many wars he's winning on your behalf. You will not need to count how many demons he has shielded away from you. Because your focus is God. I don't know how to say, God help me. So, once I immerse myself in him, I put myself in him, okay? I am guaranteed of stability all around. Amen. Once I put my focus in God, okay, and I put myself in him, I am guaranteed of everything and anything that God stands for. Hallelujah. So we have God in different names. It's Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nissi, is El Shaddai. And that's the one I love the best. The one that is more than enough. Hallelujah. Amen. So, I don't need to always go look for Jehovah Rapha. Abi? I don't need to look for Jehovah Nissi. Amen. I only need to know Jehovah. And then he will manifest himself as the healer, as the provider, hallelujah, and the one that is more than enough, the all-sufficient God. Amen. Hallelujah. So like when I said, from the beginning, I said, it's Ember Month, and so people will come and will tell us. I said, where has God been from January to August? Where? Hallelujah. Is it that everything you did from January to August was in your own might and your own power? No. Amen. God wants a consistent walk with him. Hallelujah. He wants a consistent walk with him. And if you do that consistent walk with God, then you will understand times and seasons. And you will know what to do per time. Hallelujah. Amen. So there will not be a time more sacred than the others. Hallelujah. For you. Because he's God, so nothing catches God by surprise. That's the way I understand it. And so nothing will come to you by surprise if you stay in him. and you do not lose focus. It's very important. Amen. Hallelujah. I think in the month of July, in July, we had Tokyo Olympics 2020, right? I know you may not know, but we had Olympics in July. And every 4 years, Olympics is supposed to happen. But it didn't happen in 2020 because of COVID. But we had Olympics. And I needed to get my children to come watch Olympics. So I called them. Come and watch. I was excited. Come and watch the opening ceremony of the Olympics. Blah, blah, blah. They sat down there. They were watching. They thought it was this one. I said, the opening ceremony. Like, I'm bored. Ah. I said, no. You are not supposed to be bored with this. You need to understand that this is how the Olympics happen. It starts. Very soon, the athletes will come out. And then we begin to have different events come up. But you need to start everything from the beginning. So you understand why everybody gets into that. When they stand on the podium, when they win the medal, why they break down emotionally. And they are all the euphoria and everything. You need to understand it. But they couldn't get it. I said, things start from the foundation. You don't just take something from the middle and you just want to watch the final. I said, this is the final. I thought it was only them that was having that problem. So another day, some of their friends came around. I said, so how have you guys been seeing the Olympics? It's boring. I said, this is the first time, is this generation that I've ever seen that we say that the Olympics is boring. Right from 1983, there was no satellite TV, there was no DSTV, but NTA will show us. Even if it's for 5 minutes. So we sit down, we watch the opening ceremony, we watch all the athletes, we sit down. So this one are saying it's boring. I said, there's a problem, there's a fundamental problem with the way they are growing up. Hallelujah. Amen. And if that fundamental problem is not addressed, there cannot be any focus. Okay? And they will not have stability in these things that we are talking about. We will only be trying and trying and trying. So after a while, I got my daughter, I said, sit down. And then we were watching the swimmers, and they were swimming. And then they were having different kinds of swimming techniques and all that. I explained to her, the next time they were going to show swimming, she was the one that called me. And then the third time we were watching, she said, Daddy, Ledecky is going to win. I was shocked. I said, what happened? She said, no. You explained this thing to me. I watched it, I've been watching it, and I've seen that this person has the ability and the stamina to win. So she had moved from lack of interest, okay, because she could go through the rudiments of it, and then she could get to a point where she was interested, and it caught her attention. And that's how she watched the swimming, the different races, till the end of the games. Amen. If the foundation is faulty, don't mind all the stories I'm telling you. If the foundation is faulty, this is where I'm going. There's nothing the righteous man can do. Hallelujah. So if you look at the foundation, and the foundation cannot support the substructure, then there's a problem. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to Daniel chapter 3. So you say, this man just talk, nothing. We'll look at the three Hebrew men. What's their name again? That's not their name. What's their name again? That's not their name. That's the name they give to them. Hallelujah. So go and be careful. I'm going to do, there's workers meeting. When is workers meeting? The third Sunday of September. We'll do Bible quiz. Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That's their name. Those ones, those Meshach, Meshach, they are God's name. That's it they gave to them. Hallelujah. But all of us say Shadrach, Meshach. They have called the name of strange gods in the house of God. Hallelujah. Amen. But sorry, that's not the focus. I just have to let you know that that's not their name. So Daniel chapter 3, I want to read from, I would have loved to read from verse 1. But we know the story, how the king Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, and then he talked about the height of the image and all that. And then he said that everybody, all men must bow, okay? And then it happened that in verse 8, okay, my Bible tags it that Daniel's friends disobeyed the king. Therefore, from Daniel chapter 3, from verse 8, therefore, at the time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom we have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you are a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden, that's who we are. Abi? But be sure that you are target. Because you're a city set on a hill, you are a very, 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 very exposed target. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can shield yourself from all the fiery darts is by standing firm in God. So if you want to aspire and you want to be the CEO of a company, you want to be the governor of a state, be sure that if anybody is going to target anybody, it is you that they will target. My people say that Olori Ogun, the Shuman Delde. Okay? So you need to take out the general so that every other person can submit. That's what it means in short. So if there's battle, what you look out for is the one that is leading them. Because once you take him out, then he's not going to be able to issue any command. Except another bold one comes up and takes command. But usually, you will take out, you know, is it this year that it happened that they took out the second in command in Iran? It was this year, January, that they took him out. They took him out with a drone. It's amazing. They took him out with a tiny drone, the second in command. And then they expect that once they do that, I mean, it was the backbone of that country. Once they do that, then they'll break down. So this was, so now they went to report to the king that he said that, look, there are certain Jews whom we have set over the affairs of province of Babylon. So, number one, they were not happy about the fact that these guys have been set over the affairs of Babylon. Okay? Because imagine that in all, as many as, it's just like when we are in the stadium, for instance. Okay? We're in the stadium, all of us are there. That they will be able to pick out these three. It has to take that there's an attention and a focus on them. That's how I see it. That's how I believe it to be. And this one also makes it clear. Say there are three. Okay? There are three of them that you have set on the affairs of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Amen. So the king thought, now, okay, maybe because I wasn't there, that's why these people decided not to bow. Maybe because I was far away. So now, I'm standing there before you. I want you to disprove what these people have said. That's what he was doing. That I'm here now, and don't worry, I won't take their report. I'm here now. I'm the king. So if you hear the symphony of music, just bow. I let it all be done. Now, if you now don't do it, then I don't know who will deliver you from his pride. His pride. You can see it there. He said, and who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Hallelujah. And oftentimes, these are the kind of questions that life throws at us, and the response we give it determines how we understand and value the God that we serve. Amen. Hallelujah. So if God wants to come and say, I dare you, who are you? Who will save you from me? The response you will give comes from the inside of you. And if on the inside it is empty, then you are not going to have any response. So two things is going to happen, is meant to happen here. It's either these three Hebrew men, okay, decide that they continue and they are not going to bow for whatever reason, or they look at the king and be like, wow, the king is threatening us face to face and we're going to bow. Okay? And then the three of them answered in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no answer to you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor we will worship the gold image which you have set up. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you know this one thing? They didn't even allow him to blow the symphony of music. They didn't allow him to tell, he told them, when you hear the symphony and when you hear everything, just bow. And then I will now see, if you don't bow, who will save you? They didn't allow him to play all that music. They saved him the stress. They answered him straight away. That, you know what? There's no point. We are not going to do what they have asked us to do. Okay? Because we know the God we serve. Amen. Hallelujah. And he will deliver us. Okay? I said, if that, in verse 17, he said, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor we will worship the gold image which you have set up. Hallelujah. Amen. So it was one of one thing to them. Hallelujah. We are not going to worship, and we are not going to bow down to this image, whether God comes to save us or he doesn't come. That's what they said. He said he will deliver us. That's the first thing. So, but then, in case you think that if he doesn't deliver us, we are going to fret and now bow, he says, if otherwise, then we are not going to do this all the same. So how many of us will be that resolved in the face of adversity? You know, this one is even threatening their life. But there's very, very small things in this world that come our way that we will have to take a stance. Either we are for God or not for him. So how many of us will continue in that stance even when it stares on the face that you're about to lose something? Amen. Hallelujah. The knowledge of God that we have goes a long way in determining our response to the challenges and the questions that life poses. Hallelujah. And it takes a focused person on God, okay, for him to stay in that line, irrespective of what he faces. So, a lot of people will pray. And most times when they pray, the prayer is that God help me and save me and deliver me, or I want something from God and God should do it. Okay? And if God doesn't do it at that time, they get discouraged. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know that, with all the things that these men have said, they were not supposed to have ended up in the fire by human thinking. You'd be like, ordinarily they shouldn't go into the fire. Abi, would any human being have been able to think that if they go into the fire, God will go and deliver them? So, human, I'm trying to tell you the limitation of the human mind. The human mind will have been like, these people have bragged for God, okay, so God should show up. So they shouldn't go into the fire. Abi? But God is not going to share his glory with any man. people sing and say, nothing compares to God. But I say that is incomparable, because it's an insult to compare him to something else. Because they're not in the same category, and they can never be in the same class. So you are comparing God and another God. No, 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 no. That's an insult. You understand what I'm saying? I gave my son a challenge because it's the Ben Johnson of our family. You know Ben Johnson? Do you know Ben Johnson? Do you know Ben Johnson? Do you know Carl Lewis? You know Ashafa Power? So it's the Ben Johnson of my family. So I told him, I said, son, I'm taking you to the field. And then we are going to go run. This boy said, he's going to overtake me. And I was going to faint. I said, what gives you that confidence that when we get to the field, that you run faster than me? He said, you are old now. Huh? You are old now. So, the two of us, he can compare himself to me. Okay, we are mortals. Eh? You cannot compare all those co idols to God Almighty. It's incomparable. He's in his own class. And there's no, that class is not ascendable to anybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, man's mind is limited. So, man is going to be like, so you're like, God should have just done something to that king. But the God, in his infinite wisdom, allowed him. Even the people that put them in fire, those ones, before they even got near the fire, they were burnt. And then he put them in fire. I mean, that's enough miracle. That they were in the fire. That they could even step into that fire is enough miracle. I mean, at that point, that king should have been like, there is a problem. Or that is in trouble. Because the people that were putting them were getting burnt. The people that you are putting are not getting burnt. Hallelujah. And then they got into the fire and they stand and they are walking. Hallelujah. Even them did not know that that's how God will show up. But their focus and their stability, even in their mind, your mind, you have to be steady in God in your mind. This life will bring questions. This life will pose challenges. And so we say we should not say problem. Problem is problem. If you change problem to challenge, it's still problem. You say 21 days challenge, there is a problem. You say there's a fight between, let me just use my son so that nobody will say there's a fight between Mwewa and Temiloluwa. There's a challenge. Is this the same thing? There's something, there's an obstacle that you must overcome. Whether it's challenge or problem. Hallelujah. Use the word that will make meaning to you so that when you stand before God, you can easily explain it. Because sometimes you say just challenge. But if you tell me problem, it's like when you get to mathematics question. It says, solve these questions. Abi, that's what they write. It says, it's a challenge. It's a question. It's a problem. Life will throw those problems. And you are supposed to unravel them. But in your own capacity, you cannot unravel them. Hallelujah. Because our capacity is limited. So if I have a challenge and I tackle the way I would love to tackle it, there's going to be a problem. Except I tackle it the way God wants. And all God wants is that you are steady in Him. Amen. You are steady in Him. The Bible says that in Psalm 125, Psalm 125, I'm going to read verse 1. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you put your trust in God, okay, when the challenges come, it doesn't shake you. Ephesians 4:14. And James 1, verse 6. Let me read Ephesians first. Let me read from verse 11. It says, and he himself gave some to apostles, Ephesians 4 from verse 11. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Amen. Hallelujah. So I read 125 to tell you how you should stand. You'd be like Mount Zion, that you cannot be moved. And different things can move you. Hallelujah. Men can twist the scriptures to move you. That's what he's saying. He says it's tricky. Okay? He's saying it's deceitfulness. But you cannot be tossed to and fro. You have to remain firm and stable in the right things of God. Hallelujah. Let's not be deceived. Okay? If the Bible records it as deceit and treachery, what did you call it again? Before my teeth falls out. Tricky. Sorry. If the Bible records it in Ephesians, in the church, that there are doctrines that should not be blown away to and fro. So today, you're on this side. Tomorrow, you're this side. That's instability. And so, when the challenges come, which side are you going to apply? Amen. That's why he says you find the word of truth and you divide it rightly. Hallelujah. And that's when I started my story. I said, there's no point in me reading Psalm 30 to this window, Psalm something to that window. Hallelujah. Let me kukuma get the cover that will cover the obedience. Abi? And I know. Because which day will I know, which window will I know that somebody will come in through? So you can imagine what the problem was. That if I forget to read to one window, and I'm on my bed already, I say, oh God, you solve this problem, I cannot get up. So after a while, I discontinued it. Because I was like, so even the one I forgot, nothing happened last night. Nothing is going to happen. Because if you get the right word of God, and if you understand God the way you should understand him, then you will do things and he will take care of every other thing. Amen. Hallelujah. When the spies were sent, to spy the land, the instruction was that they should go. Okay? And that God was, he said, they are going to that land that I'm going to give you. I'm coming. I'm trying to get the scripture. I've jumped all my notes, so I'm not following my notes anymore. You're laughing. So he said, this is the land I'm going to give you. That's what he told Moses, that I should send out the spies. And then they should go and check the land, come back, and then they should tell him what, give him the report of the land. And then when all of them came, Numbers 13. Good, thank you, sir. So when they all came back, you know what they said? Okay, let me read it. He said in Numbers 13, verse 1, he said, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. So the focal point was that this land, God is giving us. Amen. But he said, send them to go and check. Then they should bring you a report. But that there's any going to be any change in the fact that I'm giving them, it's not a giving. This is the land I'm giving them. And then see when they came back, and then they gave all their report. Then Joshua spoke and said to them, No, Caleb, in verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." So when they had come with the report that there are giants, that everything is there, and it was so scary, one man understood where they were coming from. He had that focus. He said, "This is the land I'm giving them." And what did he say? He said, let us go and take possession. Amen. Let us go and take possession. How they will take the possession was not his business. His business was to continue in what God has orchestrated and started. He said, "Go and spy the land I am giving you." Hallelujah. So if he was going to be taking account of the spies, he was going to take an account of the walls that was round. I mean, he's going to sit down and is in the limit of their own understanding, which the other spies did, they will be like, "We are not able to overcome." But because his gaze and his focus was on the spoken word of God, he says, "You know what? Let us go and take possession." Hallelujah. Amen. So it is important for us. Let us be that sensitive when it comes to the things of God. It is his understanding, the understanding of the three Hebrew men of who God is, that made them stand firm and be like, "We are not going to be moved." Because they have seen it in Daniel chapter 1. I mean, they brought all of them from Israel. They brought them into Babylon, and they made them captives, and they were going to feed them with the same set of food that they were going to give everybody. And Daniel spoke on behalf of them and said, "No, don't give us the same food. They don't give us the same food as everybody. Just give us pulses and vegetables and we'll be fine." And the man that was keeping them was like, "No, the king will have my head for it if anything happens to you." But at the end of it all, it was Daniel that spoke for the three of them. Hallelujah. But they all came out better than every other person that was eating what the world was feeding on. Hallelujah. We feed on the word of God. We are far better than the world. Hallelujah. Amen. So when men are riding in horses, when men are doing all that they can do, what we feed on will differentiate us from the rest of the world. And we stay with the word of God, and we are going to be fine. Amen. So if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are seeing God move, even in the food they were feeding on, how much more when it comes to their life? Hallelujah. Even when the king had a dream, and he said, he called all the wise men, because they had promoted them, say, "Are these people that..." He called all the wise men. And then Daniel said, "Please, why is the king in such a haste? What's the problem? What exactly is the problem?" He said, "You know what? Give us, let me talk to the king. Give us some time." He went, and then he went back to these three Hebrew gentlemen. He went to speak to the king. Then he went back to his people. And then they prayed, and they called on God. God didn't show the four of them. God showed the four of them. God showed Daniel. Hallelujah. Amen. And then Daniel went and interpreted. So if you have seen God move in stage A, if you tell me to tell you the dream we had last night, I'll just be laughing. It's true. If you tell me that, Pastor NY, I had a dream last night, tell me, I would not be laughing. I won't go and pray to God. You know why? Because I'm like, that's a ridiculous request. It's ridiculous. You want me to be testing God? No. If God wants to tell me the dream you had, he will tell me before you come to me. And if he comes to me, if he wants me to know, he will tell me as they are talking. But if he wants to pose a challenge to him, I'm not going to take it. But if they took it up, I said, okay, this is about life and death. So if you could reveal what was in the mind, if what he revealed to only one man, there are much more. So they would rather choose to serve that God that has shown himself on several locations. If God has shown himself to you on several locations, then I dare say to you, stay with God in that way. Hallelujah. God will speak to all of us in different ways. He will talk to some people, he will come to visions to some people, but if God has shown himself to you in several locations, in this particular form, please stay with God and stay focused on that God. Hallelujah. You don't want razzmatazz. You don't want gymnastics and say God is appearing. No. God speaks to us in a still voice. Hallelujah. Amen. The journey I made and I had an accident in Abeokuta. I made all efforts to get a driver, okay, so that as I'm going on that journey, I'll be able to carry my son in the car seat, okay, and then I'll be with him. You know, I made efforts. to get a driver. But I couldn't get a driver. I just jettisoned it. I said, no, okay, no problem. Let me go alone. Believe me, if he had been in the car, he would have been in the back seat. But God would have still saved him anyway. But I'm just trying to show you that he would have been in the back seat. Okay? The accident would have happened. The somersault would have happened. Hallelujah. And what would have happened? That would have been pandemonium. Amen. But God knows what he's doing. So at the point when I made the first effort and second effort, he said, stop, go. And I stopped and I learned. Okay? But while on my way, you know, because there's no point wasting your time in traffic and then be swearing at all the drivers on the road. Because you know the way people drive. You are in traffic and then you're swearing at the drivers on the road. Please make good use of your time and pray. Because the traffic will be there. There's nothing you do about the traffic. But please get connected to God and be praying. And so that very day, I was going. I was alone in the car. There was nothing to do. If I put on music. So I was praying. I prayed all the way from Lagos to Abeokuta. Hallelujah. I wasn't praying on my way back when I had that accident. I didn't have the accident because I wasn't praying. So don't say it's because you didn't pray. No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that I prayed. And I believe that whatever I was praying in the spirit from Abeokuta to Lagos was sufficient enough when the accident happened. And he pulled me out like that. And the best I had is a scratch that you can never see. It was just a cut here. It was only my daughter that saw it and ran away. the way the Abeokuta doctors put plaster. when you open it, you see this tiny thing. They put plaster like this. When my daughter saw me, she ran into the house. What's this one? It's not my daddy. Amen. What I'm saying is that God will deliver us. He will do the same thing. So when he said I should stop and leave, I called the first person, called the second person, third person. When the accident happened, I called the third person I called to give me a driver. The person felt guilty. He was the first person to come and meet me at the accident scene. So you can imagine. So we had that time. When I said, please, I need a driver to take me. He said, no, I don't have time. Blah, 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 blah. I'm going to Ikorodu. When the accident happened, he was the first person. He left the meeting and came. And then he called me and said, I'm at the accident scene. Where are you? I said, I'm in the hospital. I'm fine. But the same way God deals with me on a daily basis, I know when he's speaking. Hallelujah. And even when he doesn't say anything, I understand the fact that he's with me. So I stay firm in him. Hallelujah. While I round off Philippians. Philippians 4. I'm going to read from verse 1. It says, Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the love, in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Amen. Hallelujah. He said in verse 1 that whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, my dear friends. If you look at Philippians 3, from verse 18, because Philippians 4 starts with therefore. Philippians 3 from verse 18 says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. He says, therefore, my brethren, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, that is how you stand firm in the Lord, their friends. Amen. Hallelujah. The object of our focus has to be Christ. Hallelujah. And so if you are looking for support on the left or on the right, okay, that support can only be him, okay, whom we are waiting for. Hallelujah. Whether the things be spiritual or the challenges be secular, but don't forget, everything that happens in the physical first starts in the spiritual. Hallelujah. No matter what you think they are or how you tag them, stand firm in him. Amen. Hallelujah. You have to daily, on a daily basis, immerse yourself in God's word and remind yourself of who God is to them in the scriptures and to you in the present. Hallelujah. So the scriptures are written by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it's for us to refer to. Hallelujah. But you know, we always say, and we know, that the book of Acts has no end. It's Acts of the Apostles. You and I are apostles. And so what are the stories we have as apostles of Christ? And so that's what I'm saying. You refer to the scriptures and say, this is how Christ has dealt with them in the scriptures. This is how God has delivered Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the scriptures. And then what is your story as an apostle of Christ? Hallelujah. When the apostles of Christ go into the synagogue, they have no time to prepare sermons. Hallelujah. They go and they witness based on their own experience and of the things that they have read in the scriptures. Hallelujah. So it cannot be devoid of our experience. And as I said, if you will always refer to the scriptures, then the way God has been dealing with you also matters in your walk with him. Hallelujah. So now I can tell you boldly, I dare it, that nothing can happen to me. I cannot have any accident. And if I do have an accident, my God, he will pull me out. Amen. Hallelujah. I've had about five. Anytime my mom, this was, she said, ah. There was one on Adokiti. We were in the ditch, inside the nose of the Hilux, brand new Hilux. Maybe it was Hilux that was the one worrying the driver. He went into the ditch, and then the wheels were up. We were there. There was one with my very old car at the roundabout in Iwo Road. And we were approaching the roundabout on top speed, and I slowed down, and the Volkswagen Beetle in those days, he had no brake. And then he rammed into the back of the car. In fact, I was not even worried about the boot of the car. It was the fact that the radiator came down. But me, I was fine. The radiator came down and I saw water. I said, how am I going to get this car home? But each time, God has showed up. So I know for certain that he has his eyes on me. Hallelujah. So when I'm relating with people, and people say, that is in those days. Now, it is my story that you listen to. Amen. It's in those days. It's Hebrew. It's in Philippians. Hallelujah. This is our time. Our stories and our testimonies, our victories are the things that will cause stability to continue. If we will look at them. Amen. When my father died, I'm going to round up. When he died in 2000, if Seth Man remembers, I came to you to tell you that he was sick, and I was crying. If you remember, in front of your house, I was crying. I looked at it; all the plans was gone. I was going to leave university and then move to the United States. And then man was ill, and it was obvious that he was going to die. You know, so. I said, so how am I ever going to travel? I said, how am I going to travel? He's the one that was the key to traveling. He's gone. So I just left it in God's hands. And I was just busy working and doing the things God will have me do. And then, out of nowhere, he picked me and then took me from Canada, 30 days. In the space of 2 weeks, after coming back from Canada, boom, United States. I said, this can only be God. Even my father will not send me to America and send me to Canada like this. Amen. Don't limit God. Just do what he has asked you to do. And all he wants is for you to worship him. And worshiping him is not raising up holy hands only. Hallelujah. Worshiping him is doing what the three Hebrew men did. Standing up for him and with him in all circumstances and through all things. That's worshiping him. Because if you are able to stand and say, this God is God, you are giving him all the glory that he deserves. He says, all things were created for his pleasure. And so bring pleasure to his name by remaining firm in the things that you know and then digging deep so that your firm stand in him will continue as we progress in life. And the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Let's rise on our feet. I need to tell us this thing. You know, a lot of people have problems, they challenge a lot of challenges when it comes to the scriptures and when it comes to us gathering like this. But note one thing, that is the work of your hand that God blesses. When he was going to send Moses, Moses was not empty-handed when God found him. He had a staff in his hand. He was a shepherd. And what is in your hand? It's a staff. When the excellent spirit of the Lord will come and set Oholiab and Bezalel apart, you know them? He just didn't pick them up from nowhere and said, do these two men be designing all crafts, blah, blah, blah. He said, the Bible says they were skilled craftsmen. That's what the Bible says. They were skilled craftsmen. So their hands were busy. And then God's spirit descended upon them. And then they exploded. He separated them, set them apart. I don't know who it is for. But you have to get your hands busy. Miracles happen. Okay? But you have to get your hands busy. Because that's what God is going to work with. And that's what God to catapult you from where you are to your next level. Hallelujah. You pray from morning till night. Hallelujah. No problem. He listens. Amen. But you have to walk. And your hands cannot be empty. Because when he comes calling, he's going to set you apart with that work that is in your hand. Let's just thank God and give him praise. Bless his name. Thank him because we do not lose focus. The things that are important to him will be important to us. He is the object of our focus. He says we should cast our eyes upon him and the things of this world dream in the light of his glory and grace. So when our focus is on God, our stability is so certain. We are not blown to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We do not waver when we ask him things. And then we'll be the ones that will let the people see what God intended even from the beginning. And the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Father, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray.